This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A last-minute scramble to avoid a government shutdown failed late last night. Many federal employees are out of work today. The GOP-controlled House refused to pass a spending bill. Democrats in the Senate would not entertain changes to the Affordable Care Act, which went into effect today. Jeffrey Bennett is Washington reporter for News 14 Carolina and has been following the shutdown drama in Washington, D.C., and joins us now. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Frank, thanks for having me. I'm a longtime listener.
Well, it's great to have you on, and I know you've been a longtime reporter overnight, so it's been a long night for you, but go over it. It has indeed. One more time for us. What's behind this breakdown today, or last night?
So there has been, starting on Saturday, actually even before that, but this really ramped up Saturday evening, and then continued last night, obviously, that there's been this crazy game of political volleyball where the House, which is the Republican-led House, which is intent on defunding or, in some cases, delaying President Obama's health care law, is sending a funding bill back over to the Senate that has measures that will dismantle the president's health care law. The Senate says it's a non-starter. They won't negotiate on those terms. The Senate strips that language out and sends it back to the House. And so this keeps happening, and now we're at this huge impasse, this impasse that has obviously led to a government shutdown. And it doesn't look like there's an end in sight. I talked to a top House Democrat who's in a position to know these things. He says he's not even sure how or when it will end. And the issue here is that Congress has to pass a bill to fund the government, and the White House has to sign it. They can do it at any time, or they can choose not to, and nothing requires them to do anything, and it really just sort of depends on what sort of political pressure they're facing.
All right, and if we were watching this volleyball game on News 14, the team on your right would include a player called Mark Meadows, who is a Republican who represents North Carolina's 11th District, and he played an instrumental part in the showdown, right?
He did, and a lot of people don't know about it because Ted Cruz has been getting all the attention. Ted Cruz is the junior Republican senator from Texas who had that 21-hour talkathon on the Senate floor, but Mark Meadows, who represents the western part of North Carolina, he wrote a letter and set this whole thing in motion. Well, he doesn't say that, but it's safe to say that. He says he's a small part, but he really set this thing in motion. He sent a letter to Republican leaders over the summer suggesting that they tie the dismantling of Obamacare to the bill that funds the government for the next year. And House Speaker John Boehner initially resisted. He said that he feared that it would lead to a shutdown, and it turns out he was right. But Boehner eventually followed the lead of the more conservative wing of his party. And I asked Meadows why, and he says, one, that there have been 17 shutdowns in the history of our country. The longest one was 21 days. None had an economic impact. And the other is that if you're going to dismantle the president's health care law, you have to do it before it begins, not after. And so that was the genesis of this entire thing.
And, of course, the shutdown will have an economic impact here in North Carolina. Talk about that.
Right. So Social Security checks will still get mailed. The mail will still be delivered. Veterans hospitals will still be open. But the Environmental Protection Agency's massive air pollution research facility in the Research Triangle Park, that will close. Most of the employees and contractors are furloughed. At the airport, you'll still see airport screeners and federal inspectors, and the air traffic controllers will still be up in the booth, so you don't have to necessarily worry about that. But, you know, for people who own businesses in the Outer Banks, this is a really big deal because some 70 miles of beach inside Cape Hatteras National Shore will be closed. And so, Frank, as you know, a region that lived through 2 years in a row of hurricanes now has to deal with this manufactured crisis in Washington. And that means that, you know, visitor centers and campgrounds are closed, and the Cape Hatteras and Bodie Island lighthouses are closed, too.
In the mountains, I would think that would have an impact as well in the national parks where it's leaf season, right?
Right, yeah. October, I understand, is a busy time of year for the folks who run businesses along the Blue Ridge Parkway. And so the road that stretches from the Great Smoky Mountains National Park over to the Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, that's going to stay open, but the visitor centers and campgrounds and picnic areas, those will all be closed. So you can imagine the sort of impact that people who own businesses and beds and breakfasts and that sort of thing will feel.
So there will be an economic impact because of this shutdown. Let's talk about another important story in the news this week. Before the shutdown, Department of Justice at the federal level filed a lawsuit challenging the new North Carolina voting regulations, including photo ID at the polls. Jeffrey, what does that lawsuit say?
Well, this is actually the second move from a pretty aggressive Department of Justice. They targeted Texas, their strict voter ID law, earlier this year. And so the government is targeting four parts of North Carolina's law, and the state legislature passed this, and Pat McCrory signed it after the Supreme Court invalidated a key part of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And so there are four things about the state's decision, the state's voting law, that really sort of caught the ire of the government, and that's the decision to reduce early voting, to cut back on same-day registration, a prohibition on counting certain provisional ballots, and then the strict photo ID requirement. And so that's what Eric Holder is really trying to get at in this lawsuit he's filing.
And, of course, it's rooted in racial discrimination and in some ways tied to changes in the court interpretation of voting rights law of 1964.
Right, and that's right. And we should also say that these laws came after a period of redistricting in North Carolina. And, you know, the first thing a new legislative majority does upon coming into office after they figure out where the office supplies and water coolers are is that they change the election rules. And Pat McCrory and the Republican legislature did just that. And so, you know, you have those on the left, Democrats, who say that this is just a pure, very, very transparent way to have Republicans change these laws to disadvantage Democrats, mainly poor and minority voters who tend to vote Democratic. And you have Republicans who say that it's necessary to maintain some semblance of, or to make sure that their voter fraud issues are kept at bay.
Right. So that's what that was the argument about the legislation going in. Now that this lawsuit has been filed by the Federal Justice Department, what's been the reaction, Republican reaction here in this state?
Well, Pat McCrory says So Pat McCrory says the suit is nothing but overreach and is without merit. And Eric Holder says he brought the suit more in sorrow than anger. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But this was perceived to be a test case. The Texas lawsuit was perceived to be a test case. And those who study this sort of thing knew that North Carolina was coming. And apparently there could be another suit against South Carolina coming next. South Carolina also has a strict voter ID law.
All right, Jeffrey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Jeffrey Bennett is Washington reporter for News 14 Carolina.